Acts 7:49. Heaven is my throne, and earth is the footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Acts 7:49. Heaven is my throne, and earth is the footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Acts 7:49. Ecclesiastes 3:14. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There's nothing to add to it, nothing to take from it. For God has so worked that men should reverence Him. Ecclesiastes 3:14. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There's nothing to add to it and nothing to take from it. For God has so worked that men should reverence Him. Ecclesiastes 3:14. Psalm 119:144. Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I might live. Psalm 119:144. Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I might live. Psalm 119:144. Psalm 147:5. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Psalm 147:5. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Psalm 147:5. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Acts 15:18. Acts 15:18. We have before us today a very interesting verse, but I have to tell you that all the verses are interesting. I started to say we have a magnificent verse before us today, but I have to tell you that every verse is magnificent. Acts 15:18. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we are thankful today again that we're privileged to be here once again to receive the thinking of the mind of Jesus Christ. We realize how important it is for us to think properly, because when we're thinking properly, then our words, our deeds, activities will also be proper. So help us to understand that we have responsibility, and our responsibility is to obey God's plan for our lives. Thank you for every wonderful blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts 15:18, you see this verse now on the screen. Known from the age, or we can put it like this, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Now, you'll notice that we've translated a simple passage of Scripture, three words. We have the word known, we have the word from, and the word that means age, aionos. Beautiful, magnificent word. Known from the age, or known unto God, are all His works from the beginning of the world. I try to put it in the bulletin today, an insert, so that you'll be able to see how magnificent this verse is. When you go to the passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 15, you will read verse 16, after these things I will return, I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen, I will rebuild its ruins, I will restore it, verse 17, in order that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from all age or from old. Taking a good long look at this verse of Scripture, we're able to see that there's an emphasis upon God's knowledge, omniscience. In order to abbreviate, what I've done here today is just put the letter O And every time you see now in this message the letter O, you say to yourself, omniscience, which means God is all-knowing. So I'm just trying to help you see at the beginning that I'm trying to conserve and yet at the same time present information so that you'll be able to really see it. So every time you see an O, you say to yourself in your own thinking, omniscience, God is all-knowing. Omniscience is knowledge reaching beyond human imagination. And omniscience is knowledge reaching beyond any comprehension of mankind. If you'll get this really saturated in your thinking, what does God know? Well, God knows everything. What does God know about you and me personally? He knows everything. There's not anything that He doesn't know. This is really beyond our ability to comprehend, but we're trying to see it. Omniscience. God is all-knowing. Omniscience is the greatest possible, conceivable knowledge. Let's look at those two O's. Omniscience is knowledge reaching beyond human imagination. Omniscience is knowledge reaching beyond any ability of comprehending. Omniscience is the greatest possible conceivable knowledge. How many times do I need to say this for us to really begin to see how great God's knowledge is? Well, there's something else we need to see. Omniscience means that God fully knows Himself. Now, you're going to have to let that jar your thinking for a few moments. Omniscience means that God fully knows Himself. Absolute. He does not have omniscience. He is omniscience. Now, you have to think that through. You and I have limited knowledge of the all-knowing one. But we have a responsibility of becoming more acquainted with the all-knowing God. We've been talking during the break about the importance of what is God's will for my life. It is not a matter of what does God want me to do. It's a matter of what does God want me to be. If we are what we should be, then God will direct us in what we should be doing. A lot of people are coming to me and have through the years, "Preacher, help me to know what God wants me to do in life." And I have now realized more and more that I need to simply say, God wants you to be properly related to Him. And as you are properly related to Him, think His thoughts, you will discover one of these days that you're doing what He intended for you to do all along. And you probably didn't even realize that you were doing it until you got along the way in doing it. Does that make sense? Okay. Omniscience means that God fully knows Himself. Absolute. He does not have omniscience. He is omniscience. You and I have limited knowledge of all-knowing one. We're talking about the O, omniscience. Omniscience is not an object. Omniscience is a subject. You've got to think about that. No matter how much we learn about omniscience, omniscience will always be an incomprehensible mystery for the rational reasoning person. I would take it that all of you in this auditorium today and many who hear my voice by way of internet are rational thinkers. They're rational thinkers. Omniscience is not an object. Omniscience is a subject. No matter how much we learn about omniscience will always be an incomprehensible mystery for any rational reasoning person. apart from God and God's omniscience, there's nothing else. I'm just looking at you to see if you're getting a headache. I don't want you to. I just want you to really think with me. This is so powerful. Omniscience is not an object. Omniscience is a subject. Apart from God and God's omniscience, there's nothing else. When I look at this verse of Scripture, I see verse 18, the Lord who makes these things known from old. What this is then is wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the application and utilization of knowledge. What you and I know and comprehend fully or almost in that direction, I can't say fully, but going in that direction, you move from babyhood to adolescence to childhood to juniorhood or whatever you want to say to young adulthood to adulthood. You go through these stages of spiritual advance and you come to a point in life where you are able to utilize, apply God's truth. And that's wisdom. The Greek word is sophia. Sophia is the word which means the application and utilization of knowledge. I say it again. Wisdom is the utilization and application of knowledge. Wisdom is from God. Point one. Wisdom is not philosophical speculation. Let's look at those two points. Wisdom is from God. My desire is to know and love, and my knowing makes it possible for me to love properly. When we know someone, we love. In fact, I got so carried away last Sunday, and my apology to all of you, because I spent too much time talking about Joyce and me being in love with each other. Now, if you missed that, let me just tell you, you can go back and hear it if you want to, but I realized when it was all said and done that I didn't need to spend that much time talking about how much I love my wife. But I want you to know that the more I know, the more I appreciate her. And I realize this more now than ever before in my life because of the fact that I know her better now. I thought I knew her well at the beginning, but I didn't know her as well as I know her now. I know her love for the Lord, which I really didn't know all that much at the beginning about that. I see it more now than ever before. I see the manifestation of her love for other people, more perhaps than you could ever imagine. The concern, the prayers for other people, love, how fantastic that is. The reason why I love her more now is because I know her better. And the more I know God, the more I love Him. And the more I want to respond properly to Him. Wisdom is from God. It's not philosophical speculation. Wisdom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in human rational thought. These are very powerful points. Wisdom is the provision that God makes for us when we face life's trials. Did I say in the first service today that everything's going to work for good for you? No. I said, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. God's grace is always generous. My wife reminds me that I should look these verses up with you, and I probably should. But sometimes I realize that if I take the time and we look them up and read them all now, I won't even get halfway through the message. So let's look at these 5 points. Wisdom is from God, number one. Wisdom is not philosophical speculation. Number three, wisdom is found, Sophia, in the Lord Jesus Christ, not human rational thought. The desire that the pastor has for all of us, including himself, is for us to think God's thoughts and be able to see from a vertical viewpoint. The provisions for life's trials. All of us have trials, difficulties, burdens along the way. And God fully knows and is able to take care. God's grace is so generous. Wisdom from God. Wisdom is from God, learned by studying the Bible, shaped by the Holy Spirit. If you're following along, you're able to see something that is powerful to see. Wisdom, Sophia, the application, the ability to utilize and apply God's word, God's message. Wisdom is from God, learned by studying the Bible, shaped by the Holy Spirit. God delights to give. In fact, He gives generously. And He doesn't even insult us when we're asking. I had to smile when I typed that out because I got to thinking about the fact that God could frown sometimes when we pray and ask for certain things. God delights to give. In fact, He gives generously. He doesn't insult us when we're asking. I like that. Wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation, which we've already said, or intellectual accumulation. It is God's gift of the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. Wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation or intellectual accumulation. It's God's gift of the beauty of holiness. Are you able to see that? The beauty of holiness. Oh my, we must see this. The beauty of holiness. Wisdom is reasoning power. Wisdom is reasoning power. The ability to follow the best course. God doesn't want us to be on that ragged, rugged gravel road that leads down the pathway to destruction. He wants us to travel the highway of grace. Wisdom is reasoning power. The ability to follow the best course. The art of being successful. Wisdom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and not human rational thought. Why does this preacher cry out for the congregation to love the Word of God and listen to the Word of God faithfully? This is the reason. So that the beauty of holiness can be manifested in your life and mine. God provides everything we need for life and godliness. What I need to tell you is, God is not going into any bankruptcy. God is not going to fail. God's not short. God sticks to His promises. And when He promised He would never leave us, He will never leave us. God provides everything we need for life and godliness. God provides what is necessary to face the difficulties of life. You say, preacher, are you repeating? Yes, I am. And the reason I'm repeating is because we need to hear it repeated. God provides everything we need for life and godliness. God provides what is necessary to face the trials and tests of life. God provides the searching believer generously by means of grace. These are powerful thoughts God provides, because He knows, omniscience. God provides the searching believer, and He does it in a generous fashion, and it's all because of grace. Let me tell you something. I'm enjoying the study and the teaching now, more probably than the Old Testament. I'm telling you, that was a challenge for me for all those many months. But I'm telling you now, for instance, right now, in the thinking process of future days, I keep looking at subjects, and they're all so very important. I want to deal, for instance, in a few weeks with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, dealing with all the various facets, and there are many facets of the Holy Spirit that we need. But I keep looking down at something that is written that I see every time I search and redo my and do my research. I see a statement over here that says, mercy and grace. And I keep coming back to those words that I have typed out. Some weeks or months ago, I don't know when I typed it out, I put down mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. God provides the searching believer generously in grace. Do you feel like that you are lacking? Let me show you what God's Word says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all unreservedly and not reproaching, and it will be given to him. What have I been saying? I've been saying that. Now I'm showing you what the verse says. If any of us lack wisdom, and we do, let him ask of God, that gives to all unreservedly and doesn't cause us to feel ashamed, and it will be given to him. When I go to the Apostle Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, and on it goes. You ought to write that verse down and look at it carefully. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Could I remind you a little bit about the Corinthians? Would you agree with me that the Corinthians had some problems? When you study 1 Corinthians and then when you get into 2 Corinthians, you'll find a person who became involved in incest. And people were critical of him. And what God had to say about that situation is found in the second book, 2 Corinthians. Now, some of you are going to rush home now and look up the passage, but that's okay. I want you to be able to see that the Corinthians had problems. Many of them had problems in relationship to spiritual gifts. Many of them had problems in relationship to the subject of speaking in tongues. What was a legitimate or illegitimate speaking in tongues? We're going to get into that one of these days. So fantastic, so magnificent. Look at this. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now look at it. I get excited about this, and so if I can get excited, maybe I can help you a little bit. The word is Sophia. S-O-P-H-I-A. It's the word translated wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the utilization and application of knowledge. You've heard that before, but let's think what that says. Wisdom is the utilization and application of knowledge. We're receiving God's thinking. But what are we going to do with it? Are we going to apply it? Is it going to be meaningful to my life? Am I going to be able to utilize the truth of God in relationship to my relationship, to my husband, my wife, my children, my loved ones? What is our relationship to God and these other individuals? Wisdom is the utilization and application of knowledge. When I go to James chapter 3, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without uncertainty, and without hypocrisy. Have you ever seen a verse any greater than that? But the wisdom is from above, and is pure, and peaceable, and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without uncertainty, and without hypocrisy. You remember we looked at this word, anahupokritos, which means not hypocritical. Here it is again, without hypocrisy. Notice also, without uncertainty. A lot of people, all of us, fit into this category. Often, we're not certain. We're not completely assured. We need to know that the way we move out of uncertainty is to move into certainty. And certainty is in relationship to God in us. We talked about this last Wednesday night. If you missed last Wednesday night, you realize that, or maybe you don't, that when we came to church last Wednesday evening, we had no electricity. The storm had put out our electricity. And so my wife said, let's take all the congregation here tonight to our house. Too many people for our house. And so we asked someone to pull up the blinds here. So it was still daylight. And I got up here in the front, got all the people back in this corner. And I got up and I started teaching. And I knew that there was no way that I could teach all the information I had by just standing back there and talking to that group. And I made along about 10 or 15 minutes, and you know what happened? The lights came on. Now, if you heard last Wednesday night's message from the internet, you didn't get all that exciting information. But the Lord let the lights come back on. And so, as I was telling someone a few moments ago, I'm a stickler to time. I like to start on time and stop on time. And on Wednesday night, I like to start and I like to let the people out at 8 o'clock. And I realized that when I was starting my message at 7:15, that I couldn't give all the information and let the people out by 8 o'clock. So there I was, punching little panic buttons. But I came to the conclusion that I needed to have what I taught you, have a relaxed mental attitude. Preacher, I said to myself, self, you need to have a relaxed mental attitude. You plan to preach. You plan this information. The people are here. You give it, even if it goes beyond 8 o'clock. And I did. It was wonderful for me to obey myself. And so at 12 minutes after 8, we finished the message. The wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without uncertainty. I was dealing with uncertainty there. Will the lights come back on? If they don't come back on, am I going to be able to give all this information that I have? And the Lord let me see that He could turn those lights back on for us. So there was some certainty that came out over that uncertainty. Now, would you do me a favor? In the amount of time that's left, I have scripture after scripture after scripture. Mike is going to put it on the internet so that you'll be able to go to it. I was amazed when I found so much in the Word of God on the subject of wisdom. Job chapter 12, verse 12. And I was real comforted when I read this. Wisdom belongs to the old folk. Well, it doesn't say that, but it said aged. And understanding to the aged. That's Job 12, 12. We could stop right there, but I want you to see, it takes time for us to learn and begin to utilize and apply. And I'm thankful to God for giving me these many, many years of just being able to study and teach in a congregation that loves to be taught. Wisdom belongs to the aged. and understanding to the old folks. Job chapter 28, verse 28. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Now, let me stop you on the word fear. Doesn't mean afraid. The Greek word in the New Testament means awe, A-W-E, and respect. In other words, we respect God. We appreciate God. We appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. We appreciate the fact that He cares for us and He's provided for us. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. That's something else that I want to teach one of these days again, and that is the entire subject related to evil. You know that evil is satanic thinking. And we have God's thinking and satanic thinking. When we're under the control of our sinful nature, we're under the control of satanic thinking. We think the world thoughts. So we have two types of thinking. And I've said this many times. I repeat it now. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He didn't die for evil. He didn't die for satanic thinking. The only way that you and I can get rid of satanic thinking is to get divine thinking. And when we get divine thinking, it erases the satanic thinking. So we have to get the bulldozer of God's grace to keep on slicing from our lives satanic thinking. All of those years that you and I have had the wrong kind of thinking, we've got to have God's thinking to erase. You don't pray and ask God to forgive you of your evil thinking. It doesn't come that way. You get rid of evil thinking, satanic thinking, by getting a different type of thinking. Now, I didn't plan on going through all that, but let's go. The godly offer good counsel. I guess that's what you could say I'm doing right now. They teach right from wrong. I'm glad that verse showed up just now. Psalm 37:30. The godly offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong. Psalm 107:43. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Psalm 107:43. Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let me stop again. Fear doesn't mean to be afraid. It means have respect. The respect that we have for the Lord is the beginning of Sophia, the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. Do you see how great that passage is? The fear of the Lord, respect for the Lord, is the beginning of Sophia. All who follow His precepts have, what do they have? Good understanding. You want to have understanding of God's plan for your life? You want to have understanding of God's will? Here it is. His precepts have good understanding. The fear, respect of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. Proverbs 1:7. Fear the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. You can't find anything more powerful than this. What about the fools? The Greek word, among many, is the word moron, in Corinthians. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. Okay. Fear the Lord is the foundation of knowledge. Respect for the Lord. But fools do what? They despise wisdom and they despise knowledge or discipline. Proverbs 3:7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and get away from satanic thinking. Now, I have about 100 or 200 more verses. And my clock says 11:31. I'm 60 seconds over. But you've listened well. Look at it. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Powerful. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. What I tell people is, if you love God and love His Word, you're going to desire His Word on a day-by-day basis. And your life on this earth is very short, mine too. We better major on the major aspects of life and minor on the minor aspects of life. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to study your word. We're here today because of your grace and blessings. And we realize how important it is for us to have an understanding of your plan and design for our lives. We're to respect the word of God and be the recipient of God's thinking, wisdom. The scripture says when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Proverbs 10:19. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Father, thank you for the fact that you've given us everything we need to have a fruitful and victorious life. And as we close this service today, we would ask that you'll be with those who hear the message, who yet have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. May they see the need of doing that right now. Knowing that there's only one way of salvation, it's by faith alone in Christ alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will do that just now. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.